So many people are stepping up to show their support for public radio during this special fundraising drive. Thank you so much for making sure that you and your neighbors have this station to rely on for a long time to come. Today on Travel with Rick Steves, I'm sharing the best bits from a talk that I never get tired of giving. Sharing my time-tested advice for making the most of your trip to Europe, whether it's your first trip or your 21st.
One of my favorite kinds of castles is a ruined castle. Here, with a little imagination, you're under attack 1,000 years ago in Portugal. There are ruined castles rotting away unnoticed all over Europe, from Finland to Portugal to Israel. And our challenge is to find these things. I do want to remind you that free things are not promoted, right? We're all in the business. It's tourism. They want our money. We're consumers. Any information that comes to you is coming to you with an agenda. They want to sell you that stuff. Something that's just free on a hilltop is going to be ignored from an advertising point of view. You owe it to your vacation to give the free things a fair consideration, as well as the paid commercial ventures, right? Now, when you walk down the main street in Amsterdam, you'll come to something that looks like a tourist information office. It's not. It's a box office selling highly commissionable, tacky commercial ventures as if they're important museums. The clueless, naive, hen party, stag party business traveler, you know, in Amsterdam for 2 days, walk down Damrak, they're going to see this sign and they go, oh, here's the things we got to do, dear. We're going to go to the Madame Tussauds. We're going to go to the Body Works, the Ice Bar, the Torture Dungeon, and the Heineken Beer Experience. We've seen Amsterdam. Well, that's fun stuff, but it's quite expensive. And you're missing Anne Frank. Where's Van Gogh? Where's Rembrandt? Where's the Rijksmuseum? Where's the Houseboat Museum? You know, there is so much else to see that are highbrow national museums that don't have these gimmicky promotional budgets. In your hotel lobby, all those little flyers you see, you know, it's worth looking at them. But they pay good money to get there in order for you to go there because they want to make money off of you. You are consumers. They want your money. You got to have a little screen as information comes at you. Is this really what I want to do on my vacation? Or is this being effectively advertised because it's quite profitable? When you are traveling, for us to step into these amazing buildings and be properly wowed by them is so exciting. And I know as a tour guide for 25 years, I was bringing people to these great sites. And how much you bring with you determines how much you get out of it. You can step into the St. Peter's Basilica, the greatest church on earth, and you can just kind of go, yeah, it's big. Or like I used to, you can go, this is disgusting. Who paid for all this stuff? I mean, park your Protestant sword at the door. If you're not a Roman Catholic, become one as you step into St. Peter's Basilica. It's a much nicer experience. I can, as a good Lutheran, I can tell you it doesn't work to be a Lutheran in St. Peter's, okay? Now, you get into St. Peter's or you get into any great thing and you're surrounded by art and symbolism and meaning. You go to St. Peter's Basilica, you see this guy with a bushy beard and a big key. Everywhere, there's a guy with a bushy beard and a big key. That's how we know St. Peter. He has the keys to heaven and he's identified by a big bushy beard. It's amazing to me how many people don't know that. Who's this guy with a bushy beard? There's another guy. He's got a big key and a bushy beard. Understand. And then you look up above and you see in the mosaic, you are Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Why is the Bishop of Rome the Pope? It's because St. Peter was martyred there. It was a Roman chariot race course long before there was a church there. And his followers took him up to a little cemetery, buried him there. 300 years later, the Roman emperor becomes Christian and they can build a big church around it and worship in the open. And that was the beginning of the Pope and St. Peter's and the Vatican. It's exciting when you know a little bit about that. And as a tour guide and a travel teacher, it's really fun to have smart people steep on the learning curve. So you don't need to get a lot out of your sightseeing, but a lot of people are wondering about, give me a budget tip. Here's a budget tip. Know more about what you're going to see, and it's going to be twice as rewarding when you pay to see it. Another trick I think very important is find a way to become a temporary local in so many ways. I mean, imagine a tailgate party here outside of a stadium, how Americana that is if you're a European tourist. You can do the same thing in Europe. Go to a soccer game. I mean, boy, to go to a soccer game, you really feel the energy of it. I was in Ireland. I went to a hurling match, and it was enthusiastic. Hurling is like It's a rough, fast game. It's like airborne hockey with no injury timeouts. And I learned a lot of new ways to swear with an Irish accent at that hurling match. So you can find plenty of ways to connect with the locals by doing things that locals do. The obvious thing is the evening stroll, right? In Spain, it's the paseo. In Italy, it's the passeggiata. I asked when I check into a hotel generally, where do people stroll in the evening? I want to be there. Take a siesta if you have to, but be out strolling. That's where you feel the pulse of the local community. In these cute little Italian towns, the old men, they've been strolling together for 40 years, ever since they got out of school. It's called the laps, the vasca. They go from the parking lot down to the beach, seeing all their friends, gossiping and so on, and back up to the parking lot, doing their laps. It's just every tourist is welcome. That's where it's happening. You go to the main square in Salamanca, it's the greatest scene in Spain, the paseo. And early in the evening, all the boys are going counterclockwise, all the girls are going clockwise. The old ladies who can't walk so well anymore, they're up in the windows looking down, just disgusted at how trashy the girls are dressing this year. I mean, there's so much going on in the streets if you're there to enjoy it. Be a cultural chameleon. I'm really into this. I love to just morph from one country to the next. I don't ever think chocolate is to die for, unless I'm in Belgium. And then chocolate is to die for. And I go to the finest chocolaterias and I talk to people and I savor it. I have never gone home in Seattle where I live after a long day of work and thought, you know, I feel like a nice glass of ouzo. Just, it's inconceivable. But every day when I'm in Greece on the Greek islands, after a long day, the sun's going down, I want an ouzo. I just need an ouzo. The pour the water, the beautiful cloudiness, oh, your little munchies, and you're part of the scene. When I'm in Tuscany, I want a good full-bodied, it's one of the few Italian words I know, corposo, vino rosso, a full-bodied red wine. So tea makes no sense at all to me. I don't know when the last time I had tea in this hemisphere was. But when I'm in England, a spot of tea. Yeah, Bob's your uncle, all right? So become a temporary local. There's two IQs of European travelers, those who wait in lines and those who don't wait in lines. If you're waiting in line, frankly, you're messing up. Think about ways to navigate around the crowds. We're all going to go to the Eiffel Tower. You can wait in a long line, or you can go right by that line and be escorted right to the front, like I did, because I used a guidebook. A few days before, I made a reservation online. I had my appointment. I got there. I was ushered through that empty entryway, past all those stanchions. And then when I got up through, they took me immediately to the elevator, put me on, and I was up there. I had seen it and enjoyed it and got down before the people on the end of that line got to the elevator. You can make reservations. Going to Mad Ludwig's castle, you make a reservation for his dad's castle and his castle, you're in. Too many people drive from Munich all the way down to Fussen. They get there and they're told, sorry, we've allocated all of our tickets for today. Come back tomorrow. That's a major mess up. You can avoid that. Remember, these days, there's a lot of important sites that need reservations. Read your guidebook ahead. Also remember, you can pick up these museum passes. I love these museum passes. You visit, you know, this is probably one of the most popular tips I give for traveling in Paris. Pick up the museum pass. It's expensive, but it pays for itself in 4 or 5 admissions. Let's say it's good for 4 days or whatever length you get. More than just economic, it lets you sightsee more because you don't consider how much does it cost. You're going to the Notre Dame. Oh, there's the crypt. $10, doesn't matter. I've already got the pass. Go down and check it out. You wouldn't have done it otherwise, and it's a good thing to see. Most importantly, it lets you skip the lines. You've got that ticket, you walk right up to the turnstile, and you go in directly. You'll save lots of time at the Orsay, the Louvre, Versailles, the Saint-Chapelle, and on and on. And remember, most of Europe has no tourists at all. In all my adult life, I've been reminding people, go where you're part of the party, not where you're part of the tourist crowd. And if you see 4 guys sitting on a bench, ask them to scoot over. I've been saying this for decades, and it works. You're right there. It's a quintessential European experience with the old boys watching the parade of life go by. If you don't know what to talk about, you can compare bushy eyebrows, okay? There's lots of things you can do. They'll never forget you. It's just an opportunity to connect with the locals. I'm very tuned in to my travelers, and if I was making it easier than it sounds, I'd get some complaints. It's so clear to me, if you want to travel this way, you can. I'm so inspired by people whose grandchildren said, you shouldn't be doing this. They went over there, had the time of their lives, and came home with money in the bank for next summer's trip. You can travel this way again, but you need to equip yourself with good information, expect yourself to travel smart, and you will. Embrace those experiences. To me, Europe is just full of unforgettable experiences. The culture is on display better than ever. There's a proud, proud tradition. There are artisans that want to show you their stuff. The coppersmith will be thrilled if you drop in. The vintners want you to test their latest. And the traditions are alive and well. The key for you is to get to Europe through the back door, to find those offbeat nooks and wonderful intimate crannies where you meet the people and enjoy Europe at its best.
I've always considered myself a budget traveler. The way I see it, the more money you save on overpriced hotels and scams that are designed to just rip off tourists, the more money you have to spend on the sights and the experiences. And those are the things that really make for an unforgettable trip. And staying away from the touristy ripoffs lets me travel more like a local and closer to the culture I traveled so far to experience. Our time and money are limited resources, and I want to get the very most out of my investment, whether in my travels or in my support of services that make our community stronger. I expect serious bang for my buck. That's why I feel good about contributing to my public radio station. I know that my dollars are being put to very good use to provide me with the best value going in today's media marketplace. Public radio is that rare place on the dial that assumes an attention span, respects our intelligence, and brings us programming driven not by a passion for keeping advertisers happy, but by a passion for bringing us a better understanding of our complicated, fragile, and beautiful world. If you understand that, then you know it's never been more important to make public broadcasting strong in your community with your financial support. Please, if you haven't had a chance to do your part already, give us a call right now. Public radio just can't happen without your support. Thank you.